We're going to be talking about that today, the great adventure. 1 Peter chapter 4, if you're there, say amen. Reading from verses 1 through 11, Bible says, Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, we can kick back, relax, and live our lives without fear of ever having to suffer. Oh, it doesn't actually say that, does that? Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. And as a result, we do not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Because you have spent enough time, can I get a witness, in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They, the pagans, think it strange that you do not plunge with them into that same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, you should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, you should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God might be praised through Jesus Christ, and to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Lord, I thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet. Lord, that you would be glorified as we grab onto you in the midst of the challenges and the suffering, the trials of our lives, that we would draw close to you and leave the world behind, finding fullness as we draw near to you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, how's your week? Challenging? Anybody have any challenges? Anybody have any blessings? Anybody just have some odd stuff going on? Well, we had an exciting week. I had an exciting week because on Tuesday, I was indeed leaving my house, headed to the church, and I come, if you know where I live, turn on to Euclid, and I see these two English bulldogs running down the street. And I've always had a hankering for English bulldogs, but they cost about $2,000 a pop. And so my hankering has always gone unfulfilled. And so I saw these two dogs running down the street. These are not them. Those are just they look like that. One of them, well, they look like that. But that's just a stock photo. And so anyway, I stop and this lady's looking at the dogs. Are those your dogs? Because this is not right, man. These dogs are just running down the street. Somebody's going to be looking for these things. And so I open my door and call them over. Whistle. I had to relearn how to whistle. I'm going, you know. And got my whistle back. And they come on over, and I open up my door, and they're all happy, and they're looking at the door at my car, kind of going like, "What is this?" I literally had to put the seat up, and they said, "Okay, now we'll go." And they hop up in there, and I take them back to the house, and I let them go in the backyard, and it really, JJ took right to them, and great dogs, they really were. And you go outside, you know, and they just kind of snuggle up next to your leg, right? And they're looking for a scratch. That's what they're looking for. And reach down and start scratching that dog. Oh, it's so good. I know some of you guys got dogs. I've been a dog for a long time. Never had a big dog. And dog number two invariably would see, whoa, there's scratching going on. And he would, and they're big. I don't know. They were 60 to 80 pounds. And he would start snuggling in between me and the other dog. And he goes, scratch me, scratch me. And, you know, every time I went out, they just wanted to be by me. Kind of like that. We found the owner, gave him up. We're in this series called The Great Adventure. And we've been going through 1 Peter. And I got a question for you this morning. Where is it that you want to be? Because life realistically gives us two choices. Kingdom of God or kingdom of this world. And realistically, you look around us and there's a lot of people who just don't care. They're like those dogs. They just want to be scratched. They don't really care who's doing the scratching. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, they only knew me for a day. They're like, he's the scratcher. We'll come near him. They didn't even care about their owner. Peter's writing to some Christians. They're making choices. They are lining up on the kingdom of God, and all the people that are around them, their old homies, so to speak, their buddies, they're going, what's up? What's wrong with us? And they begin to heap abuse on these Christians. And it's in the abuse, and it is in the persecution that you get to choose. Choice is clear. You can move toward God, or you can move toward the world. But when you grab onto God, you're going to leave the world behind. Amen? Title of today's message, Clear Choices. We're going to go through those verses I read for you earlier. And Peter tells us that we need to be like Jesus. Amen? Everybody here, good to be like Jesus. Amen? All right, let's read about it. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, you say, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to do the suffering part that Jesus did. I want to be like Jesus. But suffering? Yeah. Since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in his body is done with sin. And you see, suffering is part of the plan of God. Jesus suffered. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was spit upon, whipped, and crucified. Not only did Jesus suffer, but he leads us into suffering, lives of suffering. Back in chapter 2, Peter writes, verse 21, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps towards suffering. And it is challenging to balance these texts, 1 Peter 2:21, 1 Peter 4:1, basically all of 1 Peter, with a watered-down gospel that God is only interested in your blessings. Let me try that again. It is difficult to balance this text with a watered-down gospel that says that God is only interested in your blessings. Thank you very much. Pastor Carlos, I'm going to buy you lunch. All righty. In the midst of the trials, in the midst of the suffering, Peter has told us, Paul tells us, James tells us, that is in the midst of the challenges of your life that you are developed in your soul and developed in your spirit. Peter tells us, chapter 1, we talked about this, that it is your trials that perfect your faith. And that without those trials, we are left with an immature faith. Paul writes to the church in Rome, who is also undergoing persecution in Rome from Nero, and says, in all these things, as you live in the midst of persecution, we know that in all things God works for the good. Do you know that God can pull good out of your most challenging situation? Have you found that to be true? Have you found your children, as they move through challenging situations, that they actually turn into better people? Amen? And that if you take those challenges away, they just become weak. Who wants a weak kid? Give me a weak kid. You can get a weak kid. Do everything hard for him. Paul writes, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. You see, it's in the midst of our suffering. It is in the midst of our trials that we are truly able to grab on to God. And it is when you grab on to God that you are transformed. It is when you grab onto God that you are made alive in the Spirit. The choice is clear. And I hope in the midst of your challenges, and I know some of you got some serious challenges, in the midst of those challenges that you grab onto God and are transformed. Amen? Let's continue on. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. I'll change this text as well. As a result, we... Is that okay? As a result, we do not live the rest of our earthly lives for human desires, for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For we have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that we do not join in with them in their reckless, wild living. And they heap abuse on us. Because we are supposed to be living focused lives on the will of God. Amen? The pagans are missing it. They are focused on the joys of the flesh. Now, I dare say, if you look at the internet, if you look at Instagram, if you look at YouTube, if you look at the TV, if you look at anything that mirrors our culture, that you will see that they are running after the joys of this life. Amen? Peter gives us a list. Debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, detestable idolatry. Pursuing pleasure can get you out of control. The image is diving into a big old pile of sin. And the words he uses, flesh. And you can miss it. I don't know what it looks like in Spanish, but tell me later. But in the Greek, the word there that he uses for the body is sarx, S-A-R-X, sarx. And back in verse 1, he says, therefore, Christ suffered in his sarx, okay? And it says, because whoever suffers in the sarx is done with sin. And then you come up here to verse 2, and it says, you do not live the rest of their sarx. Right? And so what happens is because you suffer in your sarx, you don't live in your sarx for sin. Suffering does something. It breaks down your body. It breaks down your sarx. It breaks down the bonds that sin has on you. All right. I'm not going to talk about Greek anymore. He was suffered in his body is done with sin. The bonds of sin are weakened. Suffering does something in your flesh. As you grab onto God in the midst of suffering and trial, you begin to leave the world behind. You begin to leave sin behind. We focus our lives on chasing after the kingdom of God and the will of God. The choice is yours. You get to choose. The closer you get to God, the further you're going to leave the world behind. Amen? Last Wednesday, man, if it was on Wednesday night, I'd be throwing out candy. Last Wednesday, anybody know what it was called? Ash Wednesday. I'm going to give you candy on Friday, George. And Ash Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. And actually, the ash comes from palm fronds that are burned up from last year's Palm Sunday. And it is a 40-day period in which there's a heightened focus upon the Lord, fasting and prayer and focus. Now, I don't know if as many of you know what Tuesday is called. Fat Tuesday. Some of you might know it better known as Mardi Gras. Carnival is a whole season of partying, because basically the pagans have realized that there's going to be a 40-day focus on the Lord and a greater purity and all that stuff. So the day before, we're going to grab onto as much of the world as we can. And there's Mardi Gras in San Diego this last week. I don't know how many of those people are worried about Lent, because so often the pagans are just grabbing on, getting all they can. It's a choice. For some, the closer they get to the world, the further they get from God. Amen? All right, let's keep on going. There's more going on than you can see. Verses 5 and 6 of chapter 4. They, the pagans, these guys, and everybody, will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The world is rushing towards judgment. Pleasure now pays a price later. Amen? Been talking about this on Wednesday nights, judgment, hell, all that kind of stuff. Some of the verses that we've been using, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us might receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Because there is a judgment of rewards, and there's a judgment of punishment. Amen? Those that run after evil human desires will be judged accordingly. Continue on, reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8. The cowardly, it's like, well, I'm not afraid. The unbelieving, the vile, murderers, sexually immoral. We got a little bit of that rolling around our culture. Did you? Never mind. Those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. I said, wait a minute. Will a good, kind, and loving God really send anybody to hell? Well, we think about sin, because sinners go to hell. Sexually immoral, magic arts, idolaters, liars, unbelieving, vile, murderers. Realize that all sins are an affront and an offense to God. C.S. Lewis says that sin is a way of man telling God, "Leave me alone. I want to do what I want to do. And hell is a way for man to be separated from God for all eternity. Peter says in the message of the gospel, Jesus gives us a choice. He said, I died on the cross and was raised from the dead so that you can grab onto me and also be raised to new life. Can I get a witness on that? The choice is clear. Grab onto the world or grab onto God. But the closer you get to God, the farther you're going to get from the world. Amen? I hope you have chosen God. I hope you are choosing God. I hope in the midst of all your challenges this week, you said, God, I need your power, I need your might, so I can make it through. And you walk in here today going, woohoo, I got a little extra this week. I was able to overcome. Amen? That only happens, man, when you're down, when you're getting it. All right, let's just keep on going. Verse 7 says, the end of all things is near. I hope that makes you happy. Makes me happy. Because reward is coming. Jesus is coming back. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. And he's saying, make sure you don't miss out on heaven. Heaven is right around the corner. He says, all that you do and all that you are is a preparation for eternity. I hope you are headed to where you want to go. Peter says, keep a firm grip on your priorities because the choice is plain. The closer you get to God, the further you're going to get from the world. Peter says to be alert. Word there is sophreno, which means sane. Be sane. This is in direct contrast to the insanity of the pagans that rages around us. So you have the insanity of sin, and you have the sanity of those who are focused upon the kingdom of God. How'd your week go? What'd you have going on? He says, end's coming. You need to be ready. It's kind of like a big test. Dana's got a test in coming up. She's going to take a food handler test, manager's test. She says, Pastor Bob, I'm taking every test on the internet. I've got that dialed. You're going to take it on Tuesday. And a kid getting ready for a final or a big test, the closer you get, the more you study. The closer you get, the more you focus. So that as you walk into that test, the only thing you've got on your mind is that test. Tracking with me? He says, that's the way we should be thinking about the kingdom of God. That's the way we should be thinking about heaven. And he says, rather than living reckless lives, that we should be sober so that we can pray. Think about sober. He says, be calm. Word there is FO. Calm, vigilant, and circumspect in your prayer. Is that how you pray? God gives us prayer so that we can draw near to Him. Peter writes in chapter 3, verse 12, which is a quote from Proverbs. It says that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. How's your prayer? Do you join in at 9? Do you have daily prayer? Because he says, be calm, focused, and circumspect in your prayer. In the fall, we did a series on prayer. Talked about journaling your prayers. This is actually the second book that I had. And I do this, and you write the date, and I write yesterday. And I write down what happened yesterday. Because there's some stuff that's good. Amen? I want to make sure that happens again. And there's some stuff that didn't go so good. And I want to make sure that when it comes around again, it's different. That's circumspect, right? So you put a focus on what's going on in your life, and I take this stuff and I lift it up to the Lord. I say, Lord, what should I be doing here? It's humble. Coming humble to the Lord. Here's my life. It's a model that I like. Many of you know that Mike and I were working on the kitchen for 4, 5, 6 weeks over Christmas, between Thanksgiving and Christmas and past New Year's. And I would get up early. I'd go to Home Depot, get stuff, you know, 6, I'd be rolling. And I got out of the habit of doing this prayer. And when we finished the project, I had to reestablish this habit. It's a choice. A choice for me, but a choice that we all have. What do you do with your time? Because if you choose to grab onto God, you're going to be leaving the world behind. Amen? All right. We okay? You're still freaking out about the Sarks? I'm not going to talk about Sarks no more. Okay, here we go. All right. Christians are different. They talk about Sarks in church and nobody likes it. No. Above all, verses 8 through 10, above all, love each other deeply. My wife says, you preaching on that? I said, yeah, I'm preaching on that. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Because it's a real drag to go to somebody's house and have me grumbling on you. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Love and service is part of the plan. Suffering is part of the plan. All kinds of stuff, part of the plan of God. Amen? Love one another. This is agape love. This is sacrificial love. This is the kind of love that you can choose where and when you're going to move in. Not an emotional love that you fall in and out of. Oh, I just love Margaret. I just love Freddie. I don't love Freddie anymore. It says love each other deeply. And that word deeply means like stretching or straining. There's a cost. And choosing to live in this sacrificial love is an act of obedience. Choice is clear. Move closer to God. You'll leave the world behind. Amen? Now, love covers a multitude of sins. It's like, ooh, Peter's given us a whole new avenue independent of the cross for dealing with sin. No. There is only one way that sins can be paid for, with blood. Life is in the blood. Now, Christ, in his great mercy and grace, pays that price for us. It's a choice. You don't have to take that. You have the ability to pay for your sins with your blood. It will work. It takes forever. You got the choice. So what is Peter talking about? Peter is actually quoting from Proverbs. I think I got it. Yeah, Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. And it talks about covering a matter. Think about it like your kid comes in with a cut on his hand and you're going to put that triple antibiotic ointment on it. That's what it means. It covers a sin. It covers over wrongs. It doesn't pay for it. Tracking with me? All right. Thank you, Tommy. Then he says that God equips us for love. And I got this cool little graphic here with all these spiritual gifts in it. But you can read about the spiritual gifts, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans chapter 12. Bible tells us that if you know Christ as your Savior, and most of you do, some of you don't. Not really talking to you right now. But those of you who do know Christ, even if you accepted him this morning in your shower, maybe at a meeting like Aaron often does, you have received a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it is intended to bless the body of Christ. He equips you so that you can step out of that old life and step into obedience to him, and that you, being 1 hour old in the Lord, 1 day old, 1 month old, 1 year old, or 100 years old in the Lord, can make an impact in your life for the kingdom of God. It's a choice. Some people just say, I'm just too busy. Kind of like sin, saying, God, leave me alone. Like, yeah, I know, I'm equipped, but I'd rather make money. I'd rather have a day off. I'd rather go to the ball game. Clear choice. Closer you get to God, the further the... Now, God doesn't have a problem with you going to a ball game. But it's priorities, because God wants to be the top of your list. Amen? God doesn't have a problem if you sleep. But he does have a problem if you sleep in church. Pastor has a real problem. Sometimes, you know, I start getting, he goes, man, he's really loud there, because I'm trying to wake people up. I mean, literally. All right, here we go. Where are we at? All right, let's just go. All right, here we go. Last thing I got for you, verse 11. If anyone speaks... Wake that guy up. No. If anybody speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God might be praised through Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness on that part? To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. We got to live with kingdom power, and we got to live with kingdom purpose. And he starts off and he says, and some challenged by this, think when you speak. Thank you for that. Think when you speak. Peter groups all these vocal or oratory gifts into a group. What that might be? Teaching, preaching, prophesying, evangelism, tongues, interpretation of tongues. When you speak, realize that you are repping for the kingdom of God. And as you speak for God, you're going to leave that world behind. Can I get a witness on that? He says, when you serve, and again, he groups these all the gifts into two, you know, the spoken gifts and the serving gifts. So the spoken or the serving gifts, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, hospitality, healing, miracles, administration. When you move in your gift of serving, in the midst of your challenge, you are able to grab on to God, receive power and might. The closer you get to God, the further you're going to leave the world behind. Amen? And he says, keep your focus on the kingdom. It's like that running back, running for the touchdown, right? Give all glory to God. You know, and he gets in the end zone and says, no, it was God gets the glory, not me. God gets some glory, not me. Amen? Now, it says there that last thing. I'm sorry. I got to do a little Greek thing here. It's not going to be sarx, though. To him be the glory and the power. There is no verb in that. At least you can come up. We're about done here. That be is supplied. And I don't know, again, I don't know how it rolls in Spanish. But it's not like God is up there coveting our power. It's not like, you know, to be God, be my power. I'm going to pump up heaven, right? And we can get to God, be all glory. Now we want to glorify God with the choices that we make. Amen? We want his power in us to be revealed. And thinking, man, God is good. He's working in that guy. But another way to translate that is instead to God be the power, to God is the power. And it is a declaration of truth rather than an affirmation of what we're going to do for God. Can I get a witness on that? All right. So that's what I got. It's a little technical thing at the end. But clear choices. We end our time with the great adventure. So are you in the great adventure or are you in the minor adventure? Because if you're in the great adventure, you are leaving the world behind and you are running after the kingdom of God with reckless abandon, looking for his power and his purpose in your life. Say, God, whatever it is, I am down for you and down for the challenge. Many of you sit here this morning firmly estanched in the kingdom of God, battling, challenged, kicking the world out of your life. But Peter says, if you're grabbing on to the Lord, there's no room for the world in your life. So you got to wonder, sometimes we're kicking it off on the back and then grabbing it back. Can I get a witness on that? Is it just me? See, the closer you get to God, the world just going to fall off. You don't got to kick it out. There's not going to be room. Amen? So you think about your challenges this last week. I want you to think about, because all of us are going to have some challenges next week. Why? Because God wants us to get stronger. God wants us to mature. And God wants us to get better. Amen? So in the midst of your challenge, you're going to grab onto something. Choice is clear. God or the world. But you can't have both. And you're going to be moving to one and leaving the other one behind. Perhaps you sit there today and you are firmly in the kingdom of the world. And Jesus comes in here today and says, I died on a cross to set you free. You've chosen the world all this time. I'm here today, and you can choose me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you're good and awesome and mighty. I thank you, Lord, that you give us a choice, clear choice, kingdom of God or the world. And Lord, that many of us come in here this morning firmly gripped on the cross, grabbing onto the kingdom, challenges move, and we grab onto more power and more might, more purpose for the kingdom. Lord, I pray for those who had a challenging week. Maybe they made poor choices. Better choices next week, kingdom choices next week. And Lord, I pray for those here this morning, lost in the world, with an opportunity to grab onto you. Come in just like I grabbed those dogs. You come in and say, I got a choice for you this morning. Nobody looking around, but God is speaking right now to your heart. God is speaking right now to your soul. He says, I'm giving you a choice. I'll give you new life, but you got to grab onto me right now. Nobody looking around, and you want to grab onto Jesus this morning. I want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me. I'm coming out of the world right here. Somebody else would say, right here. Somebody else would say, that's me this morning. I want to know Christ as my Savior. I want to come out of the world. I want to grab onto God. I want to be made brand new in my life. Anybody else here this morning, say, that's me. Right over here. Over here. Hallelujah. Last moment. Anybody else? Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for your suffering, Lord, that is a model for me, Lord, a model in life that I can leave reckless and wild living behind. I put a focus on the kingdom, and the suffering that I endure for you, and that you grow me up, and that you grow the rest of these up, and that these that have responded this morning, Lord, who have been used to sidestepping that suffering, now move headlong into those challenges, knowing that you walk through them with them, never leaving them alone. You make them new, in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen, amen, amen. Let's all stand. If you prayed that prayer today and you want that new life in Christ, suffering changes things. All right, hey, hold on. Let me keep a focus here, okay? Don't move around. Mike, shut that door. Suffering changes things. The altar changes things.
Yes, hallelujah.
Take a minute, because you're going to walk out of here and the devil's going to say, you didn't get nothing. God didn't do anything in your heart. This is the opportunity for you to go, God, okay, you've got my attention. I made some poor choices last week. This week, I'm going to make new choices. It's circumspect. You look at what's going on. I'm not going to sleep through my life. I'm not going to grab the world with my life. I'm going to grab onto you. Show me. Look, He'll show you. He will show you. He will prepare you for the challenges that come your way. So when they come, you're ready to grab onto Him. You won't find yourself 10 steps down the road and say, oh, there was God way back there. I missed Him again. So please, take a minute.
Amen.
Calm, focus, circumstance. Take some time. Right down here, the altar changes things. Amen? We're going to sing. We're going to be here for a minute. All right? God bless you all. Draw close to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Cordia.
Draw me close to you. Draw us, Lord. Never let me go. Change us here, Lord, at this altar this morning. Lay it all down again. Let's lay it down here before the Lord. To hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Yes, you are, Lord. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. Nothing else, Lord. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Oh, help me find the way and bring me back to you. Bring us back all the way to you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're all I want. Yes, Lord. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Hallelujah. Help me know you are near. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want.
Yes, Lord.
Help me know you are near.
Draw us close to you, Lord. And draw me close to you.
Never let me go. I'll lay it all down again.
I lay it down here, Lord.
To hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire.
Yes, you are, Lord.
'Cause no one else will do,
none but you, Lord.
'Cause nothing else could take your place.
to feel the warmth of your embrace. Oh, help me find the way and bring me back to you.
100% all with you, Lord.
'Cause you're all I want. You're all I want, Lord. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. You're all we want, Lord. You're all I want. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
Let's just reach our arms to the Lord like a little child, raising them up to their daddy and say,
you're all I want.
Lord, I just reach up to you like a little child.
You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
Like just craving after him.
You're all I want.
To you, we sing.
You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
Yes, Lord, help us to know.
Help me know you are near.
Yes, you are, Lord.
Help me know you are here.
Thank you, Lord. It is often in the most challenging of times that we realize that indeed God is near. It's in the most challenging times that we are able to grasp onto the kingdom of heaven, receive power, wisdom, and even glory to pass through those challenges, that we can declare his praises. Lord, I pray this coming week, as challenges, Lord, I just quicken of the loss in Florida, Lord. Oh, Lord, I can't imagine the challenges surpassing that. Lord, that you indeed reveal yourself to so many that have just been broken by life. Lord, that you give them that choice, that you knit them together. Lord, for those that are here this morning, our challenges are our own. They're as big as we have. We want to know you. We want our faith to grow. We want our understanding of you to increase this week and every week. We want to be focused so we can pray. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen, amen, amen. God is good, amen. Aren't you glad you can go on vacation today? Amen, I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad I didn't. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's sing. Hallelujah.
Amen. And you know what? As you are leaving, leave that stuff at the altar. You know, God's big enough. And I know many of you go to the altar, leave it, and then you literally take it right back with you in your car, in your home, right? And it's just like, and it's a fight, it is, but.